Just a few quick announcements. Number one, if you haven't already done so and you have an iPhone or you have an Android or something that has an app store on it, we want to encourage you to download our app, Phillipsburg Alliance Church. Just go to your app store. And that way you can stay connected in all kinds of ways. If you go on vacation, if you go away somewhere else, you can do that. It also gives you an opportunity to give. It also gives you an opportunity to listen to the podcast messages that you may have missed. Second of all, I'm going to be talking in a little bit in the message about baptism. If you've been baptized recently, we had 15 people baptized just 2 weeks ago. We had 3 people baptized the month before that. We've got another baptism coming up. I'm going to speak about baptism in a very powerful way. Hopefully, if you've never been baptized as a lover of Jesus, of your own volition, by your own free will, I'm not talking about as an infant. A friend of mine and I have been in a week-long discussion. He's from a Reformed tradition, the Presbyterian Church, as I have been. And I know that, and we've argued, we've discussed back and forth about the whole infant baptism versus credo or believer baptism. And he's given me all these reasons why he believes, and I gave him all the reasons why he's wrong. He hasn't been converted yet. But the point is, I'm going to talk about baptism. And I believe that by the end of this message today, if you haven't been baptized already as somebody who says, listen, I'm doing this on my will, not my parents' will, but my will, I want to associate with all those things that it's associated with. I want to invite you then to be a part of that community, if you will, be a part of that faith impact by being baptized on August the 16th. We have it in the river, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. How many of you have been baptized in the Delaware River? There's a few of you, yeah, me included. That is a great, great venue. We are blessed to be so close to the river, but it's an awesome thing. We'll talk about that a little bit later. August the 16th, 4 o'clock, up on the river. Just want to let you know what we're doing in the future. We will be having Saturday night service every Saturday night here. We will be having Sunday service out on the farm every good Sunday. Okay? So if it's spritzing, but it looks like it's going to clear up, we're having it on the farm. If not, we're having it here. And I'll probably be making phone calls Saturday night. I may have to do that. But we will be meeting at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Sunday. If we're here, 10 o'clock over there. Is that clear? Clear as mud, right? All right, very good. But we love that farm setting. We are so blessed. It's just such a very different scenario. We just love having it there. So we want to have it there as long as we're able. Then I think the last announcement, we have a blood drive coming up this upcoming Saturday. It's at the Crossbar right over here. And if you want to donate blood, you need to talk to Pastor Enrique this week, and he'll reserve a spot for you. Please, we did a great job last time, 14 pints of blood. And the goal was 20, but we got 14. That was a good start. So, and then lastly, only because we've changed a lot of things as far as what we're going to touch and what we don't touch, regardless of your opinions, this is kind of where we are on it. We're not going to be passing the offering plate. So your offering, and this was brought up, the reason I bring it up is because it was brought up after people were starting to leave. A woman said, what do I do with my offering? I totally forgot. We don't take an offering anymore. There is an offering basket just outside. As you're going down the stairs, it's to your left. It's a wooden box that says tithes and offerings. And it used to be our benevolence box. It's just all of our offerings. So if you brought it with you today and you want to know what do I do with it, it can go there. So that's the way we're going to be doing that from this point forward. Is that clear? Anybody need anything repeated? We good? Okay. Oh, yes. Thank you, sir. I forgot it at the last service. In your pew rack is a little red card. It's a hard red card. That card is just to keep the white cards upright. The white cards are our attendance registry. If you just take a few moments to fill those out sometime today, you don't have to fill a lot. Just doesn't take too much. Just put your name in, and if you're a regular here, that's all you need. But the other stuff you can fill out. And you're going to put that also in that offering box. Rather than pass those red books and the black books back and forth, again, there may be a time when, say, you know what, it's not picked up that easily, so we're going to go back to that. But right now, we're doing it this way. Please fill those out. Thank you, Pastor. At this time, would you come and read for us from after your announcement? Then would you take over reading the scripture for us and pray? Thanks, brother. Good. This is always a dangerous thing. Oh.
I marry, you're single. So even if you have a girlfriend or boyfriend, you're single, right? So unfortunately, that means that I'm single. So I'm terribly saddened by that, right? But guess who's not single? Lori and Randall Nelson. So I did some research. I scoured the lens. And I found out, shout out to L Boogie for giving me this valuable information. You see them two handsome and beautiful people up there? That's these two right here. So I'm disappointed in you two. You did not tell me when your anniversary was. So we missed it. We missed it. Now, what I love is I always tell everybody that I love. Look at him. You're really dapper, too. I like that suit. You have to let me hold it. So what I love is that I always tell people that I love seeing good marriages modeled in front of me. And I didn't have a car, I was probably one of the most interactive Uber and Lyft passengers ever in history. Because I would ask my Uber driver every question you could think of. Like, hey, you know what? Like, how do you know your wife or your husband was the one? And they'll give me all different types of different explanations and everything like that. But what I really love is I told you Pastor Randy took a risk and he came to Newark with his flannel and his orthopedic shoes. And I was scared for his life. But what he didn't say to me was that when he walked into my life, that wasn't just getting him, I was getting family. And I was so blessed by Lori Nelson, who's literally my Marshall shopping buddy. We literally go on a scavenger hunt for everything, right? But guys, I want to celebrate them, and I want to pray for them, because how many years is it, guys? Let her ask Pastor Randy, because we don't want you to get it wrong. And it turned. How many years is it, Lori? 32, sheesh, right? Give it up for them, guys, 32 years. So, guys, can y'all please stand up for me, please? And we are going to pray for this amazing, amazing, amazing. Matter of fact, L Boogie, can you come up for me, please?
L Boogie, my
mother. Yes.
No.
No. So, Now, this is L Boogie. She's the mother of Lori. So now we're going to pray together. All right? You want to pray or you want me to pray? You pray? Okay, cool. All right, everybody stretch four of your hands to these two. Dear Father God, we thank you for this holy matrimony. Father God, as I'm blessed by their marriage, Father God, may everyone else be blessed by their marriage. Father God, pray that you're renewing, you're restoring. Father God, both of them, Father God, making them better individually so they can be better for each other as a whole. Father God, we thank you for the years that you have blessed them with. Father God, we add a double portion onto that, Father God. And Father God, we ask that they just not just endure the years with each other, but that they enjoy it. Father God, cover them, Father God. Help them to see each other the way that you see them, Father God. Father God, may they speak to the king and queen in each other, Father God. Father God, may Pastor Randy love his wife, continue to love his wife, just as Christ loved the church, Father God. And Father God, we know, Father God, for I think one of the most unfair scriptures, but you're God and I love you, one of the scriptures that shakes my heart is that we do not honor our wives, our prayers are hindered. God, you are bugging, but nevertheless, you are good. So I love you. But Father God, we know, Father God, that you hear the prayers of Pastor Randy. Therefore, we know that he is honoring his wife. Father God, I pray that Lori continues to submit, Father God, continues to help lift him up, Father God, continues to help multiply everything that he gives, Father God, for you did a great thing when you gave us woman, Father God. And Father God, may we continue to praise her, Father God. May Pastor Rain continue to uphold her. May they continue to see the good in each other, Father God. And also, we pray, Father God, that you continue to breed good generational marriages in their family and everyone connected to this church. Father God, we cancel any assignment of the enemy on this marriage and on their family, Father God. We bind up any spirit that is not of you. We pray that you continue to grow them, Father God. Continue to help them, Father God. And also, as us as a church, continue to not only keep Pastor Randy in our prayers, but keep his family and his wife in our prayers. I thank Lori for sharing her husband with all of us, especially me. And I thank you, Pastor Randy, for sharing your wife with all of us. Now, Father God, may you continue to rejoice and spark that fire, renew that flame, Father God. For we know that when Pastor Randy found Lori, and your word is said, he found the good thing. Father God, I thank you for my good thing that's coming. But may Pastor Randy continue the good thing that he has now in the same for Lori. And in Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Amen. Everybody give it up for them 32 years. Little razzle dazzle. All right, now I'm about to read the scripture. All right. Thank you, Don. You are the man with the master plan. All right, everybody. Harry, it's good to see you, man. Miss you, brother. All right, we're going to Psalms 139. We're reading verses 7. Oh, I can read from there. I'm going to do that. Do you mind if I do it from there right here? Okay, cool. All right, everybody, we're in Psalms 139, verse 7. We're going to read from 7 to 14. If you have your Bibles out, wave them in the air. If you have your phones, whatever you got, we here, right? If you can't, you can follow along on the screen. Isn't this good? We can follow along on the screen outside. We can follow along on the screen. Nevertheless, we're here, right? Let's go, guys, as we read the word of the Lord. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will not shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. I just want to read verse 14 again. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well.
Amen.
Amen. And that ends the scripture reading today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, what a great blessing and honor to know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Father God, that you did not make haste when you made us, Father God, but that you took your time. You carefully crafted us, Father. And Father God, just as a tailor-made suit requires the attention of the tailor, Father God, we know that our creation required your attention to detail, Father. So Father God, we thank you for all that you've done, Father God, for the purpose and the plans that you have placed inside every last one of us. Now, Father God, I ask, Father God, that your Holy Spirit permeate this exact place. Father God, that you cause your vessel, Pastor Randy, to boldly proclaim the truth in which you have placed inside of him. Father God, may he not speak with any trepidation. Father God, for that is not of you, Father. Father God, and I thank you for everybody that's here. For in your word, it says, where two or more gather in your name, that you are among them, Father. Father God, we know you are here in this place. Make your presence known, Father God, and make it known to everybody here. May we come out better than the way that we, maybe go out better than the way that we came in, Father God. Father God, we silence the voice of the enemy right now, Father God. Anything that will lead us astray from the word that's about to be preached today, Father God. And Father God, we build a wall of fire around this place that may no spirit that is unlike you come even near it, Father God, towards this dwelling. And Father God, we pray for everybody that's listening online. We breathe the spirit of peace over their homes, Father God, and over their space, Father God. We pray that the seed that Pastor Randy's about to impart into us go into fertile soil, Father God, and bring forth fruit, Father God, that we never saw possible, Father God. For just like we do not know, we cannot see the seed that a watermelon can produce, but we know a big fruit is coming from it, Father God. So we know that this word, this seed that Pastor Randy's going to impart is going to bring forth good fruit, Father God. We pray for all the leaders of our cities, of our country, of our state, of our county, everyone that's connected, Father God, we pray you give them wisdom on high, Father God, heavenly wisdom as they lead. Father God, we pray for the educators. We pray for all the people that have an ounce of say. So for we know, Father God, you have the final say, Father God. And in your word, it says, in all our ways, not in some of our ways, but in all of our ways, acknowledge you, and you'll show us the path to take, Father. So Father God, we're acknowledging you in education. We're acknowledging you in ministry. We're acknowledging you in our families, as Pastor Randy always acknowledged you in private. Let him boldly proclaim it in public. So we thank you today. Anoint your son. Because before he was a pastor, before he was a husband, before he was a father, he was your son. And you fearfully and wonderfully made him. And we thank you for the shepherd over this flock. Father God, bless us all here. And may your Holy Spirit permeate this place. Come like a rushing wind, Lord. And we thank you right now. And in Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, everybody, give it up for the man with the master plan.
Yeah. You're crazy, man. You're crazy. Thank you, brother. be a little extra in your paycheck this week. Yep. You bet. Can you all hear me okay? In the Gospel of John, chapter 9, you don't have to turn there, you just need to listen. There's an account that John gives of a blind man. The blind man has been blind since birth, never seen a day in his life. And Jesus comes up to this blind man. It doesn't talk about any conversation that they have. Jesus doesn't ask him any questions about what he wants to have done for him. He just goes up to this man, sees that he's blind, and he spits on the ground. Jesus spits on the ground into some dirt, and he makes some mud, if you will, and he puts the mud on the man's eyes. Most of you, I'm sure, are familiar with this. And he says, now I want you to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And obviously he had to have some friends take him over there. And they go, and it says that once, and we don't know how far away it was, because it doesn't say where it actually happened, but he goes to the pool some distance, and he washes. And it says that he went home seeing. Well, you can only imagine what was going through this guy's mind as well as his mouth, praising God for the first time in his entire life he's able to see. I don't know if you have any ever had a fear of going blind, but imagine the joy of finally seeing, never having been able to see, and he was an adult. Well, he makes all this commotion in the town, and the neighborhood is all riled up, and so they say, listen, let's take him to the Pharisees. Take him to the Pharisees, and they said, what happened to you? He said, this man named Jesus, he came to me. I don't know what he looks like. I've never seen him because, I'm sorry, I'm off the stage here. Okay. I've never seen him. And so he says, this man Jesus came, and he made some spit in the ground, and he made some mud, and he put it on my eyes, and he told me to wash, and I washed. And now I can see. And they start saying, well, wait a minute. We don't really want to follow this Jesus. So they come up with this idea that he's a sinner because it was the Sabbath day. And for goodness sake, spitting on the ground and making a couple of mud balls to them was a violation of working on the Sabbath. That's not an awful lot of work there, guys. But they wanted to get Jesus on something. So they say to this blind man, or used to be blind, he said, this man's obviously a sinner. And I love the words of the blind man. He says, I don't know this Jesus. I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but this one thing I do know. I once was blind, but now I see. Amen? Well, of course, that didn't satisfy them because that gave Jesus all kinds of glory. And so they say, you know what, we're going to talk to your parents. And they brought the parents in who are scared to death because if they acknowledge that Jesus is the Messiah, this is what the text says. If they acknowledge that Jesus is the Messiah, they'll be kicked out of the synagogue. Not a good thing. You can't atone for your sin through the Day of Atonement. You're going to be lost. Being kicked out of the synagogue was a huge threat. So they call in the parents and they said, you tell us, is this really your son? Was he really born blind? They said, oh, he's our son, all right. We know our son. And we know he's never seen a day in his life except for today. We know he was born blind. Well, how did it happen? And who is this Jesus? And they said, well, listen, we're not going to get involved in this because we don't get kicked out of the synagogue. You ask him. He's of age. So they go back to the man again and they said, tell us what happened. He said, I've already told you. Do you want me to tell you again so that you can become his disciple, his follower? And they start heaping insults on this blind man, formerly blind man. And he says, listen, we are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this man, we don't even know where he came from. Kind of a snide way, I have a feeling. And he says the most wonderful words in the whole passage. The blind man, formerly blind man, says, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he came from. And yet he opened my eyes. That was such a sharp rebuke to the Pharisees. They don't even know the miracle worker and where he's from, that they cast him out of the synagogue. That was the blind man. I have a feeling for the rest of his life he was praising God because he got his sight. Now, I don't know how many of you were at the tent last week or listen to it on YouTube or listen to it on podcast. But if there's a disconnect here, I'm going to try to bring you back. Last week, I talked about 10 lepers. Do you remember that? The 10 lepers and how they called out to Jesus, Lord, Master, have pity on us. And Jesus says, go off to the priests because they were leprous. And they were supposed to go off to the priests even though they hadn't been healed. They were healed in the going. Now remember, do you remember the story I told you about Malcolm Muggeridge? that great apologist, and how he was swimming across that river in India. He had seen the silhouette of this woman bathing. He couldn't see really too much, but he saw her, and he started lusting after her, and he was a married man. And he said, I was trying to swim so fast, I wanted to outswim my conscience, is what he said. He was filled with more and more lust. The more, with every stroke of the water, he got closer and closer. He became more and more impassioned, so that he almost leapt on the woman when he saw her. But when he came up out of the water, you know that she was leprous. Why am I repeating this story? Because it says, his account says that he saw this wrinkled woman whose eye sockets had been eaten away and whose fingers were stubble because of the leprosy. The lepers that left Jesus and were going to the priests were going to go blind first. Their eye sockets would be eaten out and their eyes would fall out. Their ears would fall from their body. This is what leprosy does. Your skin sloughs off as if you had been soaking in water for days. And this was going to happen to them. So now they're going, and as they go, they're healing. And the one says to the others, hey, guys, I got to go back and see Jesus. I've got to thank him. He just gave me my life, not just my sight. Think about what the blind man and the joy there. They got their sight back, and they got their fingers back. They got their skin back. They got their reputation. They got their job. They got all of it back, and he gave us our life back. He says, I got to go see him. And they all say, well, yeah, that's good, but we're going to go see the priest because you know what? We've been away from our family. We've been ostracized long enough. We've been away from our job. We want all that restored. He says, but I can do that anytime. I can go see the priest and get restored anytime, but I got to go back and get and thank Jesus for giving me life. Are you with me? It's interesting. I've had this conversation with a few people since I preached that last week who listened to the message and said, well, you know, maybe because those nine Israelites saw Jesus as master, that's what they call him, master, have pity on us. Maybe they say, you know what? Maybe they say, you know what? We got to listen to him. He just healed us. We got to listen to him. We got to do what he says. We're going to go to the priests. And you kind of get a little magnanimous about it and kind of give them the benefit of the doubt, but Jesus doesn't. Jesus recognizes what's happening here. They could always get their reputation back. They could always get their homes back. The most important thing is to come back and thank me. And Jesus says, Jesus holds them on account. He says, where are the other ones? Where are the other nine? Weren't they all healed the same? And yet no one came back to thank me for giving them life. Sometimes we get to that point where we say, I hate my life. Maybe you've been there. I hate my life. Maybe it's that time when you've gone through the lowest of low. Maybe somebody passed in your life, or maybe something was destroyed. A part of your life was destroyed. And then around the corner comes another destructive thing and another painful thing, and the hits just keep on coming, and you just blurt out, I hate my life. I've been there. Say, how can you be there, Pastor? Because I'm normal, right? We get to that point where we say, I hate this. Elijah said, I hate this. Moses said, I hate this. A lot of the apostles all said it in 2 Corinthians, said the burden was so great we despaired of living. We didn't want to live anymore. I hate my life. Well, I want to talk to you today about the greatest thing we've been given. We've been talking about being given so much. I want to talk to you about the greatest thing we've been given, and that's life. I want to talk to you about 5 points. Are you with me? This is a good message for a change. This is really one of those ones I think that will take your life and say, it's catapulting me. And I pray that at the end of it, we will never again say, I hate my life. But as we get out of bed in the morning, as we drop our legs off the side of the bed here, we say, Lord, thank you for another day of life. And thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Are you with me? We're going to pray and get right into it. Loving Father, we thank you for this precious but brief time together in your house. Lord, I pray that you would minister to every person's heart through these fallible lips. Lord, I pray that you would anoint me with your spirit, that only your message would be proclaimed, that you would speak to me and through me. Lord, I pray that any distraction that might otherwise try to creep in, Lord, would be done away, and we would be able to hear everything you have to say. Father, would you work a miracle from my lips to the hearer's ears as well, that your name would be glorified in this time, your kingdom might be advanced. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God the Father, God the Son are called a lot of different things, a lot of different names. Father, Son, King, King of Kings, Savior, Lord, God. You know, all of those things that I just mentioned, all of those can be used of other people. The gods of the Phoenicians, the gods of the Philistines. We know we call each other father, son. All those, even Lord. You know, somebody who was in charge, somebody who was a king would be called Lord. And you know that the Gentiles lorded over them. They're called Lord. And so we use those names. But there's a name that is used of Jesus that I really love because of its absolute uniqueness. It's only used once in all of the scriptures. It's used of Jesus, and it's the name Author of Life. I love that about Jesus. It's found in Acts chapter 3. So I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles, hold them up in the air. Yeah, hold them up there. Doesn't that feel great? All right. If you didn't bring your Bibles with you, you can follow along on the screen. But go to Acts chapter 3 as we see the time that this title is used and how it applies to us today as we get into those five aspects of life. In Acts chapter 3, we have the event where Peter and John have been walking along the road, and there's a beggar who's crippled, and he's looking for alms. He cannot support himself. All he can do is beg. That's the only way he can get any money to live. And, of course, Peter and John come up to him, and they say, "Hey, look at us." And, of course, the man's thinking, okay, they're going to give me some coins. He wants me to look at them, so I will look at them. And he said, "Listen, we don't have silver or gold to give you, but what we do have, we're going to give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk." And the man gets up and he stands and he starts jumping and leaping and praising God, and he starts clinging to John and Peter. And that's where we are in this first verse. I'm sorry, this 11th verse, forgive me. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why does it surprise you that a person who's never walked is now walking? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus." Listen to the audience to whom he's speaking. "You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate." That was the group he's talking to. "Though he had decided to let him go, you still handed him over. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the Author of Life. But God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this thing." Even if you are at that point where you're so angry or so motivated by other people, so manipulated by other people that you would crucify the Author of Life, even if you hate him, the truth remains, he still gave you your life. He still gave you your life. Most important gift. So I want to talk to you about today about five aspects of that life. The first one is this. We're going to go through relatively quickly, so hold on. The first one is that he gave you your physical life, your physical soma. He allowed you to take that first breath. It was from the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, hear me. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 with Adam, it says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being or a living soul." Every breath that you have is by the ordination, if you will, of God. He breathes, if you will, life into you. Every breath, your first breath and the last breath, which he will then take from you before you stand in his presence and give account. Every breath he gives to you. Amen? He has given you that life, that physical life. Job says it this way, as Job was agonizing over his own physical frailty and anguishing over the pain and the misery of what God had inflicted on him. He said this, "In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind." But let me tell you something. He didn't just give you physical life. And I want you to listen carefully. I want you to lock this part in because we live in a crazy culture, a crazy, weird culture where good is evil and evil is good. I want you to listen carefully. Not only did he give you physical life, but he was meticulous about bringing that to pass. In Psalm 139, we saw it earlier. He says, "You created me in my inmost being, and you knit me together in my mother's womb." Now, how many of you have ever knitted before? Okay, wow, this is the biggest group that we had, like two in the last service. I marvel. My mom tried to teach me how to knit. I'm fascinated watching people knit. I mean, it's just they just go. It's almost mindless. No offense, but it's so such a habitual thing. They just cruise through it. I love watching people knit, not while I'm preaching, but I love watching people knit because I think, man, out of just a bunch of twirling these things, knitting in one and purling in two and all that kind of stuff, they come out and they make a sweater, or a very very big sock or whatever it is. The point is they're knitting and they're meticulous. And if you're a good knitter, if that's the right word, you're going to be able to put patterns in there. You can have animals or whatever, and you do it just right. The Bible says that God knit us together, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Every single one of us was made exactly with all of our imperfections, all of the things that say, well, why was I born with this, and why was I born with that? All of those imperfections that we call imperfections were God's perfections. They were his way of knitting you together exactly. You were wonderfully made. And the sad thing in our culture today is the devil is having his great way in throwing all kinds of confusion and sadness into the hearts of so many people who said, I wasn't fearfully and wonderfully made. God made a mistake. I shouldn't be the way I am. I want to change all of that. God said, no, I made you exactly. I gave you a physical life exactly the way I wanted it to be. The right hair color, the right eye color, the right height, the right whatever. I made you exactly as I wanted you to be. And you're perfect. You're fearfully and wonderfully made by me. And even though life is transitory, you know what that means? Transitory means it's fleeting. It's gone in a heartbeat. It was just, you know, you saw those wonderful pictures. Those pictures that were up there, those pictures, sorry guys, I have to stay in this field here. Those pictures that were taken of me and my wife were taken just 4 weeks ago. It seems. Yeah, and you people that, I'm getting close to 60. I'll be 59 at the end of the year. I'm croaching. I remember it was just, 7 weeks ago, my wife was mocking me for being 30 and I'm going downhill. That was 4 weeks ago. It seems. Life is transitory. And yet, as fast and fleeting as life is, God still took the time to meticulously make you exactly the way he wanted you to be. He gave you your physical life. And not only that, as Jeremiah said, it even went before that. Before he even started knitting in Jeremiah, he says to Jeremiah, listen, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And that Hebrew word is yada. You've heard yada, 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 right? It means to know intimately. And Adam yada his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to a son and named him Cain. That's intimacy. It's the corresponding word to that Greek gnosis. We talk about, I never knew you. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, that gnosis, that intimacy. Listen to me. That God says to Jeremiah, before I formed you, before I started the knitting process, my heart had an intimacy with you even before I started making you. He gave you your physical life. Can you say amen to that? So I hope you never say again, I hate my life, but rather, man, I'm having a hard time, Lord. But I love you and I love the fact that you gave me another day of life. Secondly, he gave us our spiritual life. We're going to go a little faster here. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, I want to give you just a couple of verses here to give you an introduction. Then we're going to go into chapter 2. Paul is writing to a Gentile, Paul a Jew, is writing to a Gentile church, mostly Gentile church. He says some great things about him. Listen, he says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Ever since I heard about your incredible faith and the fact that you love all of God's people, I can't stop praying and giving thanks for you. Look at now verse 1 of chapter 2. As for you, this is the same group of people. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Did you hear that? When you followed the ruler of the kingdom of the air and the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ. This is a past completed action in the heart and mind of God. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Paul writes some amazing words to this church. He says, listen, you guys are incredible. You are people of great faith, such great faith and such great love for the body of Christ. I can't stop praying and thanking God for you. But let me tell you something. You weren't always like that. At one time, you followed Satan. Can I tell you, people? You with me? I tell you, everyone in this room one time followed Satan. No, I didn't. I was born a Christian. No, you weren't. But the point is, every one of us followed. And Paul says, every single one of us was in that same boat. We at one time were dead in our transgressions and sins. We are at one time followers of the one who is the power, the kingdom of this air, and the one who is leading people, the spirit that's leading people into disobedience. We all used to follow him. We were all dead at one time. We were walking dead. We were zombies spiritually. But then, Christ in his great mercy and his great love, he made us alive in Christ because of that great sacrifice. He used to be dead, but now he's given you spiritual life. Can you say amen to that? Let me tell you, when you came to faith in Jesus Christ, you came by grace through faith. When you received Jesus, when you became a part of the family by saying yes to Jesus and inviting him in, you went from death to life, and now you have that spiritual life. He's given us physical life. He's given us spiritual life. The third one, he's given us life to the full. Now, I might make a few people mad here, and I really don't care, especially if you're listening on YouTube or whatever. You might get angry at this, but I want to talk to you a little bit. There's an awful lot of debate, discussion, anger, battles that are going on in our country right now. Everybody seems to have an opinion on everything, and their opinion is the only right one. And they're getting hostile, getting violent. And one of those things that's being tossed around is this word privilege. You hearing me? It's the word privilege. Now, even saying that word, I probably have 40 different opinions here. Let me tell you something. Privilege is really a matter of perspective, history, and filters. What is your history? What do you see through your filters? And what is your perspective on all of that? I've talked and listened to different pastors of the same race, all different races, but different pastors within the same race, all coming up with opposite opinions. So they're all out there. But I want to talk to you about privilege a little bit. The story is told of two little boys, about 13 years of age, not too little, but young teenage boys, 13. And they were riding their bicycles around the neighborhood, and they come to a park. And they just kind of hang out at the park, just sitting on their bikes, and they start talking with one another. And then one says, listen, I can't stay too much longer. I'm supposed to be home by 8 o'clock. My parents want me in the house by 8 o'clock. What time do you have to be home? And the other boy says, I don't have to be home. My parents let me stay out late. And the boy who had the curfew said,